And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I dangle my hand, I dangle my hand. I dangle my hand so bad.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, February 1st, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Happy February, everybody.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, a man who met Mark Maron, super producer J.D.
I met Mark Maron.
Go check out the latest Is This Good Pod with J.D. Matteo and Rachel. A little Mark Maron talk coming through your ears. Fun listen. And Spencer was amazing earlier in the week. Spencer Hall. Good. Great stuff. Is This Good. Okay, we got the up-down report.
Great.
It's been a while since you gentlemen have thrown some thumbs up or down, so got a few topics.
I jangled my hand. I don't know if I can use my thumb.
Yeah, we got some slop, some other notes that we will debate whether they're up or downworthy, but we had some games last night, actually a lot of games on, and we start with a few of the homecomings. Anfernee Simons sinks the late go-ahead floater as the Blazers spoiled Damian Lillard's homecoming in Portland, but man, they gave him a huge ovation. They gave him two tribute videos. Mm-hmm. Very classy touch, actually, from Portland there. One highlighting Dame's on-court accomplishments, iconic moments, and then the other showing his impact off the court and in the Portland community. So that was pretty cool. But Blazers sort of shocked the Bucks here at the end. What do you think?
Yeah, this was a huge win for them. I was surprised Dame didn't even take a winning shot attempt at the end. It didn't happen. Although, yeah, walking in that morning, apparently, he took his son to school who lives there, and he got a call from C.J. McCollum as he was riding in for a shoot-around, because C.J. McCollum knows his schedule exactly when he's coming in. And then, yeah, obviously that arena was a buzz for Dame. They gave him a 90-second standing ovation before the game, and then, yeah, every break was a tribute video. In the first quarter, they had two, so I wondered, are we doing every break? Are we going to get 15 here? It didn't happen. Just the two, and it was done. But the Blazers were ready. The Scoot show in the first half was awesome. He came off the bench because the older guys were starting, but he had that dunk where he went underneath the hoop and slammed it down. Then he got Dame with the stroke through, you know, the classic going through with the ball.
The rip
through. And obviously, yeah, the rip through. And then Lillard, he fouled him. But he had 15 in the first half. That was nice. This was close until the fourth quarter when Anfernee Simons got it going at the third end of the third quarter. Then the Bucks had six straight turnovers to start the fourth, which
yeah,
was
that
really
did
weird.
Yeah.
But they're back. They were coming back late in this game. You saw the Giannis block of that eight and alley-oop. It's
that's cool.
What is that? That looks like the finals. I mean, it basically looked exactly like the finals. Lillard started to turn on the dunk with under a minute left, and then Simons had two consecutive turnovers, so the Bucks took the lead. But Simons, no timeout from Chauncey Billups, just brings the ball up. Euro step off one foot. You don't see that.
Yeah, look, I mean, cool.
That shot it off his right foot, right-handed. That was a tough shot.
That was super
true. Especially
tough.
After, like you said, the two prior possessions where Beasley was causing havoc all over the floor. And Simons, involved in a couple of those turnovers. So to sort of, you know, settle down and take that shot. And then, no Dame heroics, though, at the end. Brook Lopez should have gave it back to him, man. He was open. He let it go. I mean, he could have passed it back to Damian.
He definitely could have. Yeah. Lillard ran the pick and roll. He had Ayton on him. Ayton was kind of taking away his three, so he gave it to Brook. And then Brook fired up a three, although Dame was a little calling for it. He was kind of open. He could have taken that shot. Was surprised. Surprised that he didn't get it back, and then Brook missed. But it felt good for Portland to get a win here as they sit very, very far down the standings. But it was a big win for them, obviously. It felt like old times for Dame there.
What do you think?
Yeah, pretty cool. That's how you do it. Honor your franchise icon and then go beat him.
Yeah,
great stuff. And honestly, they were going at Dame Lillard for the entirety of the fourth quarter, only when they weren't going at Malik Beasley. I thought the Bucks really competed on defense in the last 5 minutes. They're basically switching everything. And it was just taking turns, either pulling Beasley or Lillard into pick and roll, and then Jeremy Grant just shooting over the top of him. Like, Malik Beasley, he's competing. He wants to guard the best perimeter guy on the other side, but he's too short. And it was just too easy for Jeremy Grant shooting over the top, and then Simons just as well for the game winner. Weird stuff, I thought, offensively for Milwaukee in this one. A lot more Dame and Brook Lopez pick and roll. Giannis got one touch in the half court in the last 5 minutes of this game. It was on a sidelines out of bounds. They threw an alley-oop to him. He got fouled. They run a similar play. He catches the ball on the wing and hands it off to Dame Lillard, who shot a hero ball shot right away. I don't know. Like, if the idea is getting the ball out of Giannis's hands, I don't think that's the smartest idea from Doc Rivers. I was not impressed with the Bucks' offense down the stretch at all. Even the final play, they're down by three. Why is Dame inbounding to Giannis Antetokounmpo when you know they're going to foul down three, 90 feet from the basket? You're just asking to give the ball back to Portland. There was no way they were going to win with Dame taking the ball out.
Yeah, very perplexing decisions here from Doc. Now 0-2 in his Milwaukee coaching career, so still looking for his first one. You weren't hearing as many comments. I'm pumped about the team here still. Really loving this team, despite the loss after game one. Because this one, you know, you shouldn't be losing to Portland. I'm sorry, you're a much better team, but they played great. Contributions from Grant. Look at DeAndre Ayton, had a good game for him. Obviously, Simon's the hero down the stretch, even Brogdon contributing. But yeah, not a good start here for Doc Tass. And a little confusing, like TK saying, some of these decisions offensively.
Yeah, and Dame had a bad night when we look at it. Big picture here. He shot 3 of 13 from 3. He wasn't feeling it, but they kept going back to him. So they may have been a little off with all that. He did turn it on a little bit in that fourth quarter with a couple big plays. But the Blazers were far better. And it was just a fun ESPN game watch. They only had one turnover in the first half. Both teams only had one turnover in the first half. So it was just a good watch. Although I heard some Shaedon Sharpe news that the injury that he has to his groins not allowing him to come back anytime soon. They'll update it sometime soon. So I've just started thinking about the dunk contest. Is he going to be there? It's unlikely.
Very unlikely at this point if he's injured.
Yeah. But he was on the court warming up. So he's not injured. But hopefully he will be back. That's what I started thinking about already.
We hadn't heard any news, though, that he was even going to be in the thing, right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, no one's in.
Yeah, we don't know.
No.
Except McClung, I guess, defending.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Portland, Milwaukee?
Yeah, Doc Rivers, when he was hired, he said they're going to need at least one of the young guys to step up and play for him, and he hasn't played literally any of their young guys a single minute thus far. I think that's, once again, a concern. You're going to get way too many Bobby Portis minutes, I think, from the Bucks. And then you mentioned that dunk that Dame had down the lane. Awesome dunk. Mark Jones's call, though, was surprising to me. He hit that like a stimulus check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I was like, he cashed a check for $600?
He said it with some conviction. He had that one chambered because the dunk happened, and it was almost like on the replay he let that line go.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it either. The stimulus check, you're excited to get it. That's what it sort of sounded like. He was excited to get the opportunity to slam dunk a ball. Like, he was excited to get the opportunity to see a stimulus check a DD, a direct deposit. I don't know. I don't know either way. He had one, I guess, plan, one in the chamber, and that's what it was.
It was just surprising to me. Every while, what? Huh?
Trying to break it down.
It is exciting when you get it and you don't think you're going to get it. My guess is that Dame was probably in too high of a tax bracket to get the stimulus check, though. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and it was weird. They have done it this season where Giannis has been the focus a lot of the game, and then Dame is the focus the last, like, 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And
they're the best team in the clutch, Milwaukee.
Yeah, and to let Giannis chill a little bit because you have Damian Lillard. But he, honestly, it probably didn't feel good for him the way he was shooting, and he just tried to make up for it a lot.
Trey's right, though. I mean,
he was trying to go Dame time in Portland.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
9-23.
Which, understandable, but they got to win games as well.
Fair. All right, moving on, we had another homecoming. Kevin Durant. He scored 33 points in Brooklyn. That was his return there, leading the Suns to the 136-120 victory. And, you know, the Nets did play him a tribute video. before the game, before, you know, he was introduced. It wasn't coming during a timeout in the first quarter, even though KD had asked on social media earlier in the week, hey, don't give me one. I don't want one. They said, ah, well, we're going to sort of do one. Anyway, he was
sorry,
awesome.
Sucker.
And yeah, they a pretty dominant sort of takeover sort of later in the third quarter into the fourth as Phoenix created some separation. Trey, any takeaways from KD's return to Brooklyn?
If you catch the Suns on the right night, you're like, they're going to win the title. Because they make it look so easy. It's 100% Matrix mode. It was Devin Booker the last time. It's like, oh, you're going to double me? Here's an easy dump off for a basket. You got two guys over here. I'm just going to go the other way and shoot a jumper. That was Kevin Durant on this night. Anytime he got doubled, it was just a dump off to Nurkic. 8 assists for Kevin Durant. He scored incredibly well. 33 points, easy jumpers, some tough shots as well over smaller defenders. But I just think that the peak of the Suns looks so good. And if you catch them on the right night, they're like, this is the team. This is the team out there. How can anybody ever stop this offense? It can look ugly in fourth quarters, as we've seen, when they basically go into prevent offense mode. But when you're winning by 16, you don't really got to worry about that.
Yeah, the big three is starting to look obviously very great. They're 28 and 20. And Kevin Durant said, we're aiming for 30 and 20 just because he's starting to feel good. And he's been around the league a long time. So when he looks at that and he says, okay, we're going to get to 50 plus wins. And you look in that Western Conference grouping, that's going to be a rough playoff for everybody. The Suns, Clippers, and Nuggets are in there in the top six. So oldies in the league, established players that can win any series. And obviously the Wolves and Thunder are there, plus the Kings make up the top six. And then there's a whole bunch of other good teams. That's going to be tough. Yeah. Obviously, Kevin Durant feels good. They got the ball out of his hands. And he gave it to Yusuf Nurkic. So did Booker. That was an impressive Yusuf Nurkic game. To be the complimentary guy outside their big three, 15 shots. He hit 11 of them for 28 points. Same with Eric Gordon, who's replacing Mr. Grayson Allen in that starting lineup for now.
Replacing Grayson.
Replacing Grayson. Fallen Allen has hurt himself. I tried to get a Fallen Allen. No, it's not that good. Not bad.
Not bad.
He's hurt. But I just like – I bring up those guys because the support for the big three is looking good. We knew it was going to take them some time, especially with Bradley Beal's injury. So they've got those couple guys to go with Grayson Allen, who's been playing well. They've decided on Ibanks, Eubanks. No, we all banks Drew Eubanks as the backup center. So that's their lineup. And we all remember what happened to them against the Nuggets last year. They couldn't do it. Chris Paul got hurt. I mean, then you start to think about this lineup and you think, this team could. This team could do it.
This blew my mind, despite all the injuries to start the season, that last night's outing marked the 17th game Durant has played with Booker and Bradley Beal, his son's co-stars, this season. Across the entirety of their time together in Brooklyn, KD, Kyrie, and Harden played 16 games. that stat just blows my mind. So yeah, and that's despite all the injuries to Phoenix this year. But yeah, they're looking better here, and they're sort of rolling. That record caught me by surprise. Yeah, 28 and 20. It feels like they've been bad, disappointing, and they're still hanging around at the top of the Western Conference. And I'm with you, TK. I know right now I will be convincing myself, oh yeah, they're gonna win, and they could go on and beat this team in this playoff series, and they could win the whole title. I can see myself doing it. I did at the start of the season. I was drinking the Kool-Aid, but then you see it in action, and you're like, oh my god, that's gonna be difficult to stop. Four times out of seven in every series, but lots can happen still, and they need the contributions like that Nurk and KD action last night. Ooh, bully ball from
nice.
The Bosnian
too nice.
Oh yeah. But that's against a team, in the Nets that are, he's just too big for them. And then we had Kevin Durant dropping the little, you're too small, and doing his whole thing again.
That was a mean one.
Yeah,
I felt
pinch.
Bad. Yeah. Who was it, Cam Thomas?
Yes, it was.
Is that
it
what
was.
It was? Yeah. He just stood, stared at him, waited, and then finally hit him with the pinch. I couldn't tell what he said. That little or something like that? He didn't say too small. It was a different phrase. That was great. Also, Devin Booker used Mikal Bridges' celebration, his Manny Machado thing right at him. That was hilarious. Bridges looked quite sad, I thought.
Yeah. Moving on here. SGA scored 34 points. Thunder beat the shorthanded Nuggets 105-100. We had this one on playback for some of the night. We were focused on this one. It was close for a while. Obviously ended a 5-point victory for OKC. No Jokic, so you're probably not going to take a ton away from this game. But what did you think, Tass, of the Thunder here? Getting the victory? Two of the best teams in the West.
Really, it went to the beginning of the fourth quarter is where it really started, and that's with Shea on the bench and Chet Holmgren out there deciding, oh, I can beat this Denver Nuggets bench, no problem. And he got set up for a couple big shots. They went on that 14-2 run, and Shea was jumping up from the bench. As soon as Chet was stroking that three, Chet looked great throughout this game with 18 points, just supporting Shea, who then came onto the floor and was able to get wherever he wanted. So even though he's been named an all-star starter, he just goes out and looks like one. He can just do it. He just is a phenomenal player that many look at and say, ah, too many free throws for that guy. He's not going to be able to do it in the postseason. He's just a really talented guy. He can get to wherever he wants on the floor. And that's what he did in this one, you know, without Jokic playing. And other guys were stepping up. It was good to see Gordon take on more of a role, and Porter Jr. was awesome too. But in the end, OKC had too much, even without Jalen Williams, who's hurt right now.
Yeah. Again, we had this one playback. Anything to add, TK, that you didn't last night?
Yeah, Hot Abe was looking good. I liked what Chet Holmgren, how he played last night with no Jokic out there. Chet's kind of hit the wall a little bit here in the past couple of weeks. He's coming off a 9-point game and a 4-point game, I think. But there was no size inside for Denver. They played small all night with Aaron Gordon at the 5. So Chet was inside all night. He took 9 shots at the rim. He had 5 offensive rebounds, 5 blocks. He had that big tip dunk in the fourth quarter. At one point, he got Jamal Murray on him on a switch, bullied him inside, shot the hook over the top. He was like, I'm the tallest guy out here. I might not be the widest guy out here, but I'm still sticking inside. And he was really great. I also think Vasily Micic, that guy is fun to watch, man. He is not often in the rotation for the Thunder, but they're 13-7 when he plays 10 or more minutes.
Oh.
That's because he plays mostly in blowouts. Like every game you see is like plus 26 for the Thunder. But 12 points, 5 assists last night. He actually made some shots, which isn't always the case with Micic. He's at least exciting to watch as a random dude who comes off the bench. And then Tass mentioned that was a cool Aaron Gordon game. He was basically in Jokic mode. They were playing it through him at the elbows, letting him pass. He had 7 assists, 16 points, 13 rebounds. The big difference, though, is that when Aaron Gordon rolls to the rim, he's not stopping at the free throw line to find a cutter. He's detonating on your head.
Yeah.
He had a monster dunk in this one, too.
Yeah, and I would add to the Thunder bench, Wiggins, 25 minutes, 5 of 8. He's great as well. I mean, we've said this before about the Thunder roster. It's like they are one of those teams, like you got your star guys, and then it's like you don't know who's going to pop off, be it a Joe one night, a Wiggins, Micic, obviously Wallace, as the Rook has had some good games. They just have so many guys on the team that they feel comfortable slotting in there and can go off on any given night.
Yeah, Kenrich Williams got his first start of the season. Wasn't all that good.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do much because they've got so much support and trust from Mark Digno, who just lets them all go and try it out. And it was cool. It was cool for them just to have all their guys play and be
very
good.
Cool.
Cool coach moments last night. I thought Chauncey Billups allowing Anfernee Simons to go try and get that game-winning shot after turning the ball over 2 consecutive times didn't look all that good. They didn't call a timeout. Simons just Euro 7. I don't know how he did it. And it just reminded me of, when I watched this OKC game, like Cason Wallace and another Jalen Williams off the bench, they've got so many guys, including Vasily Micic, who will probably not be in a playoff rotation, but it doesn't matter. They've got the depth, so they're just a tough team to beat.
Jimmy Butler scores 31 points to help the Heat beat the Kings, 115-106. This is noteworthy because they snapped a 7-game skid, and Butler was he was a monster. 31-7-6, 10-14 from the field, getting to the free throw line. And Josh Richardson, Tass, who you've talked a lot about, he did come off the bench and he scored a season-high 24 points. He had 6 threes. So they snapped the losing streak. They really needed this one. And Sacramento just never wins in Miami. I saw an insane stat from Deuce and Moe here this morning on Twitter that the Kings are like 5-31 in Miami. And Chris Webber, in fact, never won a game in Miami. They won once in 2001, but he didn't play in that game. So just like mind-blowing stuff here. So they never win there. But the Heat got it done, and they were led by Jimmy.
Sometimes that back-to-back in Florida is tough. Orlando, then Miami, having fun.
South Beach flu, sure.
I imagine.
You get to go one time a year?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Not a surprise, really.
Yeah,
it ain't that surprising. Let's go talk to those old Sacramento Kings. So it'd be going to ask Vlade Divac, Chris Webber, Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, why they didn't win in Miami. There's got to be a reason.
We have a good theory.
Prime 112, I'm sure. And then
they ate that giant ass salad at Prime 112. Holy crap.
Yeah, the iceberg.
Oh, the wedge salad was huge.
That's the biggest salad I've ever seen in my life.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And that was only a wedge. Imagine how big the head of lettuce must have been. They could get four of those salads. It was as big as the table. Does it make sense?
Good news for you in this one, JD, because we talked about Starry and how they're going to be a three-point contest spot again. You know, those two spots. Josh Richardson was awarded the Starry three-point shot of the night. He was giving it to him because he hit a three-point shot.
On the broadcast.
So on the broadcast. Pleased to hear.
Wow. Isn't that exciting?
I'm glad to hear Starry mentioned on this show again for free.
Yeah, what the hell?
It was great for them because it looked like the Miami Heat, not of the early 2000s, but of the team that went to the finals where they just keep moving that thing over and over and over and over and over again. Terry Rozier started. He was 1 of 8. Not that good, but he had 10 assists. 6 guys had 3 or more assists on this team. 40 assists in total on 42 baskets. That's a franchise record. That's almost impossible to do. 40 assists on 42 baskets. And yeah, it was fun watching Josh Richardson off the bench, but he was doing Miami Heat things where he was scrambling to double, to get in there, do those type of things. He threw a baseball pass or a Patrick Mahomes pass, whatever you want to call it, to Jimmy Butler, 50 feet. He was awesome. He finished the game. Yeah, 6 threes. How does that happen for Josh Richardson? It's not going to happen forever. But he was just splashing. They needed a win, so I don't know if this was just a recipe because they had lost so many games that they were going to win one. But the fact that they were passing that much, again, it looked like Goran Dragic and Jimmy Butler and all those guys who were able to go to the finals, they just passed it more. That's what Eric Spoelstra has been wanting.
Any thoughts on that game, or you want me to throw the other ones at you?
I like Miami having 50 points in the paint.
Yeah.
They averaged 45, 28th in the NBA. Like you said, the assists were great, but they only took 28 threes. The problem with the Heat offense is they take so many mid-range jumpers. Jimmy's a mid-range guy. Bam's a mid-range guy. Hero likes to pull up in the mid-range as well. So they got to get more threes up, but on a night when you're actually able to score at the rim, keep going to the rim. Mm.
The other games, we had Mitchell scoring 45 as the Cavs held off the Pistons. 128-121. Darius Garland did return. He played. Kobe White was awesome for your Bulls there. 35 points. Handed the Hornets their 5th straight loss. JV and Ingram helped the Pelicans get past the Rockets. They snapped a little skid that they were on. Towns led the Wolves to the dominant victory over the Mavs, who had no Luka and no Kyrie. And the Magic staved off a fourth quarter rally to topple the Spurs 108-98. They were up huge. We were basically done with that game on playback, and then somebody in the chat was like, that's like a 2-point game now. And I was like, what the hell? The Spurs got back into that game in a hurry, but the Magic pulled out in the end. Any of those games you wanted to address?
Kobe White, 35 points, 9 assists, 20 came in the second half. They beat the Hornets. Who cares? But I was interested to see where Kobe White falls in the MIP leaderboards right now, because I'm thinking this guy's got to be top 3 case.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Where do you think he finished? Or is right now, according to BetMGM.
Oh, according to the odds.
Yeah, according to the odds makers.
Well, you're making it sound like he's lower. So is he like 5th or something like that?
No, he's 3rd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, fair. Pretty fair. Who do you think is the top 2?
Oh, good question. MIP, Maxi?
Number 1, he's the leader right now.
Yeah. And then, is it someone
similar to a Maxi kind of character? Not in play style, but maybe in like reputation.
Right. Yeah. So will be an all, like flirting with an all-star?
Flirting, but he won't make it, I don't think. But he's sick to watch. He's a future all-star.
It's not Scotty.
No.
That'd be weird.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Şengün.
Şengün. I thought Şengün, but when you said a Maxi style.
I threw you off with
you
know.
Threw me.
He's going to be on the snub list for All Star.
He'll be a snub list.
He's probably
guy.
Not going to make it tonight, but he'll be on a lot of Şengün, people's list tomorrow. Yeah. Şengün, yeah.
But man, Kobe White, he's averaging 10 more points per game this season than he was last year. So if this was, I don't know, 2012, I think he would be the leader. But right now, MIP tends to go from good to great, and that's exactly what Maxi is, rather than player to good player.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So that's something.
10 years ago, this is his. He's the leader in the.
That's exactly right.
In the odds, but it's changed. It's now. Yeah. Who is the good player who's turned into like an all-star? you know, and one of the top 25 guys in the league. And that's sort of what Maxey's done. We've seen it with John Morant. We've seen it with other guys. So, all right, good stuff. Any thoughts on any of those games?
Yeah, Pistons-Cavs. Obviously, the Cavs got to win that game. But it came down to the wire. Mm-hmm. The Pistons were playing freaking well. Danilo Gallinari performed his trade deadline audition, I think, last night. He was balling, actually, coming off the bench for the Detroit Pistons.
Please save me.
Yeah, 20 points for this guy. I've scored 11,000 points in the NBA. Trade for me now. I'm not sure the Boston Celtics can afford it. It's a lot of money, but I would kind of like to see him go back to Boston where he signed that long-term deal. But it's $8 million, so it's difficult to do. There's definitely a chance you involve a third team there. It could happen to get him out there. But it was an interesting game that went down to the wire. And those guys, and Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, who are trying to work themselves back into their prominent roles, they didn't close the game in this one. They were on the bench. And Jared Allen, along with Donovan Mitchell, were absolutely balling. I'm sure Jared Allen's going to get snubbed when the All-Star reserves are named tonight. But that guy is just one of the least talked about players in the NBA, but he's been really important for them.
All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we are going to get into the up-down report to talk about Embiid, talk about the Rockets slop, and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, back in the Classic Factory. We're laughing at some of the comments here from the stream team. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Let's get into the up-down report.
Prepare your tubies. It's the up-down report.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've gotten into the up-down report. Got to find out if you're thumbs up or thumbs down on a few topics. First one, according to Woj, Joel Embiid out for tonight's game against the Utah Jazz and will receive further evaluation on his left knee in the coming hours. Now, the reigning MVP was injured in the fourth quarter of Tuesday night's loss to the Warriors when Kuminga fell there on the knee. 76ers 0-4 on this current five-game trip. So here's my question off of this in the up-down report. Up or down on the Sixers staying competitive without Joel Embiid? We're waiting to find out the severity and how long he'll miss, but you can assume it's going to be a week, few weeks, maybe longer. Can they stay competitive, up or down?
Up. I think they can, because Tyrese Maxey hasn't been part of this road trip at all, basically. He's missed every single one of their losses, was hurt in one of them. So I think if he's coming back, which it looks like he'll be back against the Utah Jazz, yes, he can stay competitive. And that's also me just thinking that this injury isn't that substantial and that he'll be back at some point. You know, we're all pondering, oh, maybe he should have sat against the Pacers and played against the Nuggets and he would have been okay. Listen, the fact that he's going to do more testing at home, I think just means that he's just going to sit out the Utah Jazz game regardless. And this is just a good way of getting him home. I'm just assuming that he's not that injured, but I could be totally entirely wrong with this one.
We hope you're right on that one. But what do you think? Trey again. If he's missing some significant time here, can the Sixers stay competitive? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm more down on this one. 3-9 without Embiid so far this season. Like you're saying, a lot of those have come with Maxey, but there was also a run where it was just Maxey without Embiid, and they didn't look the same because the guy is absolutely dominant every single minute he's on the court. As for staying competitive, the good thing is that the schedule's pretty soft for the Sixers. Mm-hmm. They've got the Jazz on the road tonight, then a nice homestand here. Nets, Mavericks, Warriors, Hawks. Then they go on the road for the Wizards and Cavs, come back home for the Heat. Then it's the All-Star break. My guess, he probably doesn't play any of those games.
Yeah.
They can stay competitive through those ones, and they've got a 5-game lead as of now on the 7th seed. So if Embiid is able to make it back this season, hopefully that's the case. Hopefully he's only out for a couple of weeks. Hopefully he can get back into rhythm like he has been prior to gimping through some things a little bit here. They can still be in the mix for a home playoff seed, I think.
Agreed, yeah. 8 games before the All-Star game. If he sits out until the All-Star break, it's probably a good feeling for him and probably, I think, something they're thinking about because he doesn't care to win the MVP, I don't think.
Well, it would be a wrap basically anyway with the 65-game threshold.
Yeah, if he misses all these games. Yeah. And that's what he's, I'm sure, taking into account. Last year, he would have been like, oh, God, I got to play. I got to win the MVP. This year, I think that's gone. Mm-hmm. He's already done that. So he just has to be obviously healthier as the season goes on. We've seen him bumped and hurt into the playoffs before. He just wants to be healthy. So I think he could sit these 8 games. And listen, the East is tough too. Teams are bouncing ahead of them for sure. But
well, that's it, right? The Knicks are playing their best ball. The Cavs are playing their best ball. You know, the Pacers, obviously, with the Siakam trade and Halliburton returning, you know, you'd think they're going to start getting their stuff together here. These are all teams that are, like, in the mix there with the Sixers. You know, luckily for them, I guess, for Philadelphia, you know, the Heat just had a 7-game slide and so didn't make up any ground. But I'm with Trey. I'm sort of down, but the right move here, don't get me wrong, is don't play here. Come back after the All-Star break, hopefully, and then, you know, start ramping up and be healthy come playoffs. That's all that matters for him and this team. He has to be dominant come April and May. And especially once we get done of the idea that he can even win MVP or all NBA. Sure, that's weird. I get it. It will be weird if the guy averages 35 points per game and isn't on an all NBA team. It's going to be strange, but we'll talk about it when it happens. But yeah, just come back. Hopefully it's nothing. I'm just like, I'm dreading that it's like done for the season. Because it's possible. I mean, we were hoping the MRI comes back, and then now they're saying, no, now he's got to fly home and get more looked at. So,
yeah, I think they like the fact that that he's got to get more research done is just gets him out of the Utah Jazz game. I think that is a good thing for them. No one's asking, oh, where is he? Is he coming back?
But maybe it's
I mean,
to play
people
this
saw
game.
Him, his knee sort of like go backwards when Kuminga fell on him.
Yeah, kind of went backwards. That. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? He did limp off. I just don't think it really matters where the Sixers end in the standings. Like we've seen it the last few years, they're kind of like a middle pack team. Last couple of years, they were finished fourth when they beat the Raptors a couple of years ago. Then they finished third last year when they lost again. So they're going to be on the road for the second round again. It's just what happens.
I do think it means that Daryl Morey will be pretty aggressive this week because I think the Sixers needed an upgrade on their number 3 option before Embiid even went out with injury. Now you're going to need somebody to help carry the offense alongside Maxey, who is a good pull-up shooter, but also often a bad pull-up shooter. He's better at catch and shoot, so they could use another ball handler, which is why they've been so attached to DeJounte Murray.
Yep. Oh, well, okay, let's talk slop, because a new slop arrived thanks to our guys at The Athletic. According to Eco, Shams, and Amick, my favorite NBA law firm, Houston is keeping tabs on Kelly Olynyk, Clint Capella, Andre Drummond, Time Lord. They want a defensive-minded big. They're thinking about Malcolm Brogdon. Jalen Green, he may no longer be untouchable. You want Jalen Green? You can maybe get him. And the golden corn in the trough for all the piggies of the slop. The Rockets even made an offer for the Nets' Mikal Bridges. Apparently, Houston was prepared to send back several of Brooklyn's unused remaining draft picks from the Harden trade. Now, the Nets have said no. But up or down, TK, you get us started here. Up or down on the Rockets aggressively trying to trade for Mikal Bridges and just all of this slop, I guess. Okay, thumbs down.
I'm down on trying to trade for Mikal Bridges specifically for the Houston Rockets. I just think those Nets picks are way too valuable to cash him in for Mikal Bridges, a guy who's 27, almost going to be 28 years old. A very, very good player, but I don't think that adding Mikal Bridges to what the Rockets have going on puts them anywhere in the stratosphere of contenders right here. So why not just hang on to those super valuable picks and hope that the Nets trade Mikal Bridges somewhere else so those picks get even better? Right. People actually like going to Houston. They'll be able to sign free agents. They'll be able to package a bunch of expiring contracts and picks and young guys that they don't want to pay in the future to get a big-time star who will actually re-sign in Houston. So I would prefer to keep my powder dry, but I know Udoka is basically pushing, like, I make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I got to make the playoffs, yeah. Which is why they're attached to, like, every other possible name here. So go for one of the smaller names and yeah. get into the 10th seed.
Yeah, who knows what their offer for Mikal Bridges actually was with these draft picks that they got. Was it unprotected? Was it a lottery protected? Because I'm sure, and they should want to use those picks instead of trading it for somebody who Mikal Bridges was traded for a lot of picks. I mean, they were able to get a lot of picks back from the Phoenix Suns for Kevin Durant. So he came along with a lot of picks there. I don't see why they would even trade him. I would say this is down from the Rockets' perspective and from the Nets' perspective. I just don't see why they would trade Mikal Bridges at this point, unless it's for these unprotected, incredible picks. I don't see it happening. Mm. I mean, the Nets did something. They're obviously struggling here. It's nice to hear that the Rockets want to go for it in some way, and you look up and down the roster how many guys they have. Şengün is obviously established really well. Jalen Green has good moments and bad moments. He was averaging in that article. It was good to note, good to see 26.8, 7.2 rebounds and 4 assists over the last 5 games before yesterday when he had an offer and he had 0. I love the guy, but he is up and down. There is no doubt. But there are guys in Jabari Smith and Tari Eason and Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore that other teams are looking at like, oh yeah, I would like them on my team. There's no doubt. So they do have they have so many of those guys that I'm sure they're going to be talking to teams.
Yeah, there was a lot in this article. Like I set this up with some of the notes, but the other one was Jayshon Tate is attracting interest from teams like the Suns and the Celtics. But my biggest takeaway, like, okay, this Bridges thing I don't think is happening. The Nets aren't doing it, and probably wisely. Jalen Green sounds like it's like, I mean, this to me within all this article was like, Jalen Green, we will trade him for the right piece coming back. So make your offers. And honestly, like, intriguing young player who still at this point of his career looks awesome some nights and other nights is like an offer. And the Rockets are like pivoting to, we got our vets in here that we got in Fred VanVleet and Brooks. We love Şengün as a building block, and maybe Green doesn't fit the timeline moving forward. So let's hear your offers. It's suddenly a very interesting name at the deadline here with a week to go.
Definitely a guy who's going to be dangled hard here.
Yeah.
Because a very talented player, and when you see him on his best nights, he looks awesome, and he's playing his best basketball right now, but could easily not be in their long-term plans just because they have so many good young guys who they're going to have to pay.
Yep.
And then they've got all these picks coming in the future as well. You literally can't pay everybody. So would you rather pay Cam Whitmore, like, 25% of what you're going to play Jalen Green?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I could see teams, when you see Jalen Green, as like, we could get an explosive scorer that's obviously young still. You know, there's going to be teams that are interested in that. Teams that are like, you know, maybe not going for a championship this year, but there's a lot of other mediocre to bad teams in this league who, if you can get Jalen Green for, you know, a decent deal, do it. So, I was intrigued by that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see who he'd be traded for. If we're talking Mikal Bridges here, then Jalen Green would be the big gem of that package.
Right,
wouldn't be like Jalen Green and 2 first-round picks.
Mm.
Highly doubted. Mm-hmm. So, a fun article. Many, 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 many players to be had at Houston's. But what are they trading them for? Mm. And so
they're just open for business, man.
Okay.
They are open.
They're saying, we want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they did for it.
And we got picks. We got young guys. Let's go.
Yeah, but Mikal Bridges, I really wonder what they're offering for Mikal Bridges. Of course, yeah, Mikal Bridges on their roster, that'd be damn good.
Right.
But how deep are they going on those first rounds?
And it sounds like it doesn't matter because the Nets are like, it doesn't. We don't care. We're not trading him.
I think the Nets would do it if the Rockets decided to give him all their picks back.
All of them?
Yes.
Yeah,
all of them.
They have their unprotected pick in 24, 25, 26, and 27
right.
for James Harden.
Yeah.
He's two teams past the Nets right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they would do it. And of course, the Nets are one of the biggest liars of all time at the trade deadline. Yeah. They said they weren't trading Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant last year. They're on different teams.
Yeah,
they got unprotected picks. I doubt that they would get back unprotected picks. It's fun to say, hey, yeah, we'll just trade them back.
Exactly. That's why we say we're not trading them.
Yeah, and it seems like teams don't trade first-round picks the way they did even last year. I mean, they just don't. They protect them if they do, and they are dealing way less of them. So that's what's happening. Although it'll be fun the next 7 days.
Important to note, though, when it is slop season, that also means it's smokescreen season. They go hand in hand with all of these reports and, oh, we're not doing that, or no, we would never trade that person.
Yeah.
That's a smokescreen a lot of the times, or can be.
Yeah, and they could just be dialing it into the media just to say that, hey, we're talking to teams, but they may not be really, they may not really have anything substantial,
right.
Even though their team is fun. They went and got Fred. They went and got a jock in Landale. Why the heck isn't he playing?
They want to trade him.
Yeah. I mean, they have expiring contracts, the Rockets do, and Oladipo, there's Boban, there is, Jock Landale's contract he's got the weird contract, right?
Yeah, it's not guaranteed past this year.
Right,
So
Jeff Green they could trade. There's a lot of guys they could trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have lots of guys.
Well, let's move on here, talk a little bit more about trades, because the deadline is approaching, and some teams have been active, still plenty of others who might need to make a move. So ESPN, they had their experts come up with some fake trades, and Kevin Pelton, the machine, he went star hunting for LeBron. And I have seen this trade in some form or another getting floated around left and right here. It's a three-team deal, hypothetical. It's really simple to follow. The Lakers, they get DeJounte Murray. The Hawks, they get Spencer Dinwiddie and the 2029 first-round pick by way of the Lakers. And the Nets, they get D'Angelo Russell coming home. Okay, so we're doing a swapping here of guards. DeJounte to the Lakers, Spencer and that pick to the Hawks, and the Nets getting D'Angelo Russell. Are you up or down on this hypothetical three-team deal?
I'm down.
I think
the Atlanta Hawks snore at this one. They say for DeJounte Murray, who we gave up 1,000 picks for,
right?
What we're going to get him back for it is a first-round pick for the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, they've got some really good players on that team. It's going to be a mediocre pick at best.
Well, it's in 2029, too.
Yeah,
who knows? It's far. Okay.
Anthony Davis will be a Bull by then.
Right.
It's the end of his career. That's when they go to the Bulls.
Everybody goes to Chicago. But really, you're going to get a what could be an okay pick, and Spencer Dinwiddie for DeJounte Murray. You're not saying that your team is getting any better now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the new front office of Landry Fields and Kyle Korver, that's just not good. They're not going to start this run as being in the front office with that. That's not good enough.
The Hawks are apparently seeking two first-round picks, and they're looking to shed future payroll without taking any back to avoid the luxury tax next season in trade talks for DeJounte Murray. We know that. And then Woj this morning is saying the Hawks want Austin Reeves in any sort of DeJounte Murray-type deal, and that's where the hang-up is. Woj also said Lakers, players and fans, I love how he said players and fans, should temper their expectations for this trade deadline, and that Woj thinks waiting until the offseason, when they have three available first-round picks to start putting into deals, then maybe you can get something done, but not maybe at this deadline with just that one pick. But anyway, are you up or down on this KP hypothetical?
just keep waiting, Lakers. Just keep waiting. Kendrick Nunn is coming back soon. No. Gabe Vincent's coming back soon. No. We're getting somebody in the summer. It should be fine. If I'm the Hawks, I'd rather have the Lakers 29 pick than D'Angelo Russell. I'll start there, but I also don't think the Hawks can bottom out. They owe San Antonio unprotected pick in 2025. They swap rights with them in 2026, and then they own them another unprotected pick in 2027. So the Hawks have to stay good, or they're losing some pretty good picks here.
Yeah.
I also do not understand the interest in DeJounte Murray. The Hawks are a team that has had him now for two seasons, and they're trying to trade him before his extension kicks in and before they have paid back anything that they owe the Spurs. But he's the hottest name out there.
Yeah, and like think about this. If they did some sort of deal like this, and especially when you're like, oh, they want to like cut payroll and all that, that would be like three starting caliber guys in a row that the Hawks are just trading for like cost cutting, like
yes.
Herder, Collins, and then DeJounte Murray is on another level, but my God, like what are they doing? So yeah, again, this is a hypothetical. I mean, when you start saying, hey, you got to include Austin Reeves, now I'm not the biggest Austin Reeves fan in the world, but I think it starts to make a little bit more sense if you are ready to move off of DeJounte Murray, like, and you're demanding that back, and then a third team or whatever. Okay. it starts to make a little bit more sense, but yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to think about DeJounte Murray anymore and whether or not he's going to just end up in L.A. and Bron gets his way.
This wouldn't be a fun day in Atlanta because they would be getting – literally, Spencer Dinwiddie would be starting beside Trae Young. That's what they're going for, a guy who needs the ball in his hands, needs to be the starter of
– He's a way worse DeJounte Murray. They thought he was on strike this year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Contract reasons, yeah, but yeah.
If Atlanta's rebuilding this thing, they got to go defense in some way, and Spencer ain't that guy. So I'm not sure what they're thinking there, but this team is just so poor defensively. Mm. It's bad. We went and watched the G League Skyhawks. They play way harder on the defensive end. It's sad. It's not right.
True.
And so, yeah, I wonder if they're sitting there and saying, Trae Young's going to be our guy, but we need defense around him, guys who care. And it's unfortunate. Yeah, they gave up Kevin Huerter, who was a big part of that 21 conference finals team, John Collins, who was a part of that 21 conference finals team, and they signed DeAndre Hunter to a long-term deal. He just can't play. Who's really good defensively, but he's always injured. So here we are. This ain't good. This ain't real. This is not a hypothetical. I do not buy it.
Okay.
That trade is not real. I do like the idea of the Nets reuniting D'Angelo Russell and Ben Simmons. Back-to-back high school championships.
We forgot.
Haven't won anything since.
Even mention that Ben Simmons didn't play last night.
That's crazy. I know. I was shocked.
Oh, my God.
I was shocked by a lot of things. You brought up Kendrick Nunn going back to the Los Angeles Lakers. I was looking at his stats recently because he's playing in Greece.
Is he?
For Panathinaikos. That man is young, and he goes and plays in Greece.
Is he lighting it up?
At least 13.3 per game. Well, that's something. He's 28. I guess he's old.
Okay. here's who could fix the Hawks. Get Marc Gasol. Talk him out of retirement.
Good guy.
Get him on Atlanta. Marc Gasol, standout defender during his 14 NBA seasons. He officially announced his retirement on Wednesday. Now, he last appeared in the NBA in 2020-21 season. Had been playing in his native Spain for the last few years, a team in which he owns. He made 3 All-Star teams. He won Defensive Player of the Year. He was named to 2 All-NBA squads. He won his only title with Toronto. Huge, instrumental part of the Raptors' championship in 2019. Shutting down Embiid, hitting a bunch of threes, chugging wine during the parade. And he had an incredible international career. Are you up or down, though, on Marc Gasol's Hall of Fame chances? You get us started.
Easy up.
Easy up.
Easy up. Good NBA career, like you're saying. 3-time All-Star, 2-time All-NBA. Has accolades on top of that, and then the great international career, I think, really pushes him over the top. 2 Olympic silvers, lost to Team USA twice. 2 World Cup golds, probably beat 2 Team USA twice in that one, and then 2 Eurobasket golds as well.
Yeah,
he's an easy in.
Yeah, I think you may label him, or he may get the tag of international Hall of Famer, if that means anything, because they allow guys to have great international careers that get him in. But that was big. I mean, 2 big medals for Spain. He has become he's become a great guy. So yeah, just a good person. Hall of Fame of people, undoubtedly, is Marc Gasol.
That's
so
true.
So he gets in for that. Read that great ESPN article where he was in the Mediterranean in 2021 trying to save people in boats who were leaving Africa. That was a phenomenal article, but he's just a good dude. And yes, an incredible wine chugger when they won. That's a Hall of Fame performance. He took that bottle of wine and put it in his all of it in his body, not the glass, but the actual the liquid.
Yeah.
That's frickin' impressive stuff.
Spaniard, yeah.
So as far as the NBA goes, you know, it's quite questionable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's not a diss to him. I mean, it's like the numbers are good. He's a great defender, but obviously the Hall of Fame tends to overlook defensive-minded guys. A couple accolades, sure, but it's not going to wow you. When you add the international play, the Gasol brothers are some of the greatest international basketball players of all time, period. Both of them. Powell's in. I mean, and had better NBA career than Mark in accolades and all that. But I was shocked. I put this poll up on No Dunks. I thought it would be flipped up or down on Marc Gasol's Hall of Fame chances. 75% of people thumbs up. And, a lot of people, I just thought people would have it the other way around. And I'm happy to see that because people think, you include the international accolades, he's a shoo-in. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, maybe he should have got more Defensive Player of the Year awards just because it came around a little late. Zach Lowe was definitely going to vote him for the Hall of Fame because he was the one who popularized the way Marc Gasol was able to alter a defense to do everything, to influence a defense. And so he only had one. He's only scored 12,000 points in his career. He's not a point getter by any means. I was surprised by that just because he felt like he was a 20-point game guy for a long time, but he wasn't, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he brought a championship to Toronto. That is for sure.
I wonder if a brother has ever inducted a brother into the Hall of Fame. Mm. Because Powell will absolutely give the speech for Mark since he's already in.
It's pretty cool if it happens.
That's really cool.
That's a great question.
I can't think of anyone.
Special moment
Dick and Tom. That's the question. Did Dick and Tom do it?
How many Shays are there? I always feel like
Dolphin Danny? I don't think Danny made the Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Good one.
No.
Yeah, the ball tipping at the All-Star game between the two of them, that was a pretty cool moment. Pau and Mark. Yeah, I wonder if he gets a little boost because Pau's in there, I guess. For some reason.
No, he's getting the no-dunks boost / the starters boost. We love Marc Gasol and Pau Gasol. Obviously great guys, and we had the chance to have them on the show back over that All-Star weekend, right? And Trey, you tweeted it. They were helping us move furniture around.
It's just good guys, man.
Nice guys.
So good. Those are good guys. So, next time we rearrange in here, we'll call them up. They got free time. Help us move stuff. Well, we'll see Pau at All-Star. He's happy to be coaching. But also, here's a call-out to all the internet out there. Once upon a time, there was a picture of Marc Gasol sitting on a couch at an Anthropology waiting for his wife who was shopping. And I thought it was one of the greatest NBA pictures of all time because I'm like, that is so relatable.
Right.
Any man who has ever gone to an Anthropology with a significant other has sat on a couch and just waited while they look at all of the beautiful frilly goods that they have in Anthropology. But for whatever reason, now that it's X, it's impossible to find this photo of Marc Gasol sitting on a couch at Anthropology, and I demand to have it in my possession. I need this picture.
Okay, there it is.
Please, help me.
Asking everyone out there joining us live, everyone listening later, watching later, we got to find this photo of Marc Gasol.
I need to see it again.
You looked, eh?
I put in every possible combination of Marc Gasol, couch, anthro, couch, Anthropology, Marc Gasol waiting, wife,
sure.
Anything I could think of into any search engine, nothing.
Damn.
He wanted it wiped.
Yeah.
What are you hiding?
All right. Well, I'm sure it'll pop up. I can't wait to see it when it does. All right. We got to take one more break. And when we come back, a very funny tweet of the night. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
This one is random, but get your thinking caps on here. This is from NBA Paint, who put up a photo of the Sesame Street gang sitting at a table with the line, the question, Sesame Street starting five, who you taking? Now, just to name you some of the names, Oscar the Grouch is there, Bert and Ernie, Big Bird, Cookie Monster, Elmo, Count Von Count, Snuffleupagus, a two-headed monster, and then there's a couple I don't even freaking know.
Grover's
correct.
Is there a new Zoe? Is a new Sesame Street character?
Is that the teal one there?
Bird?
Yeah,
she's
not
new anymore.
Well,
I mean,
Elmo's new to me.
Oh God,
that's how old
that's
I am.
That's how old you are.
Oh, it's a good call.
Abby Cadabby.
I saw Elmo.
Is that somebody?
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, NBA Paint.
Nope, there's no Zoe in there. My bad.
NBA Paint decided to throw out their top five. They decided point guard, Grover, shooting guard, Count Von Count, the small forward Cookie Monster, the power forward, the two-headed monster. Very interesting choice there.
Deep cut. That's not in the photo.
Yeah.
Because there is that two-headed purple monster.
Yeah, you can't do that NBA paint. I thought there.
No, it wasn't. It's not who you think it is in the photo. Yeah.
I thought there is a two-headed monster in the photo, but sort of.
Oh no.
I like that.
And the center was Big Bird, leaving out Snuffleupagus.
This is an awful team.
Let's go, Grover,
Count Von Count, Cookie Monster, Two-Headed Monster, and Big Bird is a terrible team.
Well, you got Snuffleupagus right there. Like,
he doesn't
Big Bird
move.
Doesn't move. He's not going to be able to play any minutes.
He's Boban.
He's sneakily athletic. He once played Arnold Snuffleupagus. Like,
what?
He was like...
What the fuck are you talking about right now?
He's jacked. He's under all that fur, he's jacked. He also has a trunk.
Yeah, the trunk is...
Big Bird
is
has,
the trunk
has like the small human arms. Like, big, yes, yeah. But little human wings. They're, Big Bird's not doing shit.
Okay, I disagree.
And you can't have the counts on your team.
Why?
Too many bats flying around. You could never play in San Antonio. The Coyote would be all over him, snatching those bats out of the air.
You sound like Oscar the Grouch. What's your team then?
Yeah.
My team is, Snuffleupagus, center.
Yeah.
That's the only... I have Grover, too, as point guard. I have Bert, also sneakily athletic, and he's tall.
Bert is the tall head one.
He's tall head, yeah. Okay.
Single forehead, single
more
eyebrow.
More Bert than Ernie myself.
This might be
Anthony
a deep.
Davis.
This might be a deep cut. Hairy monster, the blue monster. Like, he's not the cookie monster, but he's just like.
Oh, you're going off board here.
No, Sesame Street characters. And then this one is a really, really deep cut. It's the cheese.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
We're gonna see a photo of the cheese here. Yes,
look at the reach on this guy.
God, you are old, eh? This looks like from 1968 or something.
Yeah, and he kind of floats. He doesn't have legs, but he floats around. And in this sketch, jeez, it's called Chase the Cheese, and nobody can catch him. Nobody.
It's like how many arms is cheese?
Like, he's got one arm, but they're so like gangly that they just sort of like. But when he stretches them out, imagine the wingspan.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, that looks huge. I thought there was more than two arms on that cheese. Anyways.
That's my starting five.
Anybody want to chime in with a starting five of Sesame Street characters?
TK,
I'm going Big Bird at center.
Yeah, he's
like
got to be
mobility,
on the team.
Flying around out there. I thought Oscar the Grouch would be a good power forward. He's a garbage man.
Oh, that's good.
Cookie Monster to me, small forward.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Cookies. Then my backcourt's Bert and Ernie, the new Steve Francis and Catino Mobley.
I think it's good you have Ernie on the team. But do you remember the bench when Dwight Howard farted that time? Like, cleared the bench, his own bench. Dwight Howard farted. Grover, or it's not Grover. Oscar constantly farting, and he just stinks in general. Like, he lives in
trash.
Stinky guy.
Oscar's
not on the team. Grover's being overlooked here. This is a big snub. Super Grover, man.
Yeah.
I would say that wearing that shirt.
A prime athlete.
Yeah.
Do I look like a guy's
wearing a
Grover
jersey.
He's underrated.
Totally underrated.
Absolutely. He is an athletic freak. He's like, this guy's like John Wall.
Yeah. He's also got a bit of a temper on him, and not a bad way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when he's the waiter, like.
You're saying Grover's got that dog in him.
He's got that dog in him.
Is he a dog? I don't even know. What is he?
He's a
what
monster.
What are any of these?
He's a monster.
Yeah, what are
obviously a bird.
Right. Okay. I like Cookie. I like Cookie Monster. He's definitely playing the three or four, and I got to have Bird at four or five.
Yeah.
I mean, his dad's Larry.
His dad's Larry.
That's where he got it from. He can shoot.
Mom
okay,
is
love
Sue.
That's right.
Basketball family.
Exactly. Not a lot of people know that.
I thought it was Chris Anderson. so many jokes.
Bird,
all right,
Bird, man.
Sesame Street starting five. Who are you taking? Did NBA Paint tweet that to Stephen A. Smith, right?
Yeah.
And say, yeah, because Stephen A. is like being asked all these insane questions and
he's doing beach stepping now.
I know.
Man, went Charizard over Blastoise. And then all of the Pokemon fans were like, that's a great call. You're actually right about that. He does. He's not as limited as Blastoise and Venusaur. That's good, man. Stephen A. Smith is going in on his new Beach Steppin' podcast. But what a night for Twitter. I had some wins and some losses. Dead & Company announced at the Sphere. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
And then I wake up this morning and see Lewis Hamilton is going to Ferrari.
It's Joe, man. Not good?
Well, I mean, if he wants to retire with the exact same amount of titles as Michael Schumacher, it's fine. Because he ain't winning another one with Ferrari. Yeah. But I guess I'll be a Ferrari fan starting in 2025.
Let's ask Stephen A. Smith what he thinks about that.
That's a good tweet.
Send it in, man. He'll answer it.
I didn't realize that he answered this Sesame Street starting five.
He's
but he
already
did.
Answered he, it?
He's already answered. He put up a video 16 hours ago. I see him moving around like he's, I guess, Snuffleupagus? I don't know. Wow. He's moving left to right, right to left.
I thought there was a thing with Snuffleupagus that, I guess it's not true, but like that only Big Bird saw him.
100%. That was what it was when I was. It was so frustrating as a kid as well.
Right. So the one else could see him.
No. That was the thing. Like, he would just sort of wander off when Big Bird was like, I was just talking to Mr. Snuffleupagus. And he's like, looks around behind him and he's gone.
Right.
And then he's like, okay, Big Bird, whatever, man. This is your imaginary friend.
So what's wrong with that?
It was frustrating because I felt bad for Big Bird because he was real. He was, and then now he's real.
So he's in this group photo, so they're obviously.
Yeah, he's part of the gang now.
So it's a little like this is another Canadian television children's show, but Pokeroo.
Pokeroo, same thing.
Yeah.
Pokeroo?
Yeah.
Did it predate Pokemon?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was like the kangaroo version of Pokemon.
Pokeroo predates me.
Oh, yeah.
And Elmo.
What
is Pokeroo?
Pokeroo's whole thing, I mean, I don't know what he was, honestly. Like,
nobody
just
knows.
A weird monster that came out when one was around.
But he was Pokeroo put him on the team. He had some size.
Yeah.
He was like Big Bird sort of size.
Yeah.
But his whole thing is like, okay, hold on. That we only saw him.
Right.
But they never on the show saw him?
The humans on the show would come out and say, hey, who cleaned up my dishes? And you, as a kid, you're supposed to yell at your TV.
Yeah.
It was Pokeroo!
I love it. The last 2 minutes of every episode is going to be, here's a weird Canadian television
show
we had in the 80s.
We're talking Mr. Dress-Up tomorrow.
Sheldon Turnipseed? Is that right?
Sheldon Turnipseed.
What?
Or Ernie Coombs, man. Ernie Coombs.
Sheldon Turnipseed, isn't that a Canadian show, guy?
No, are you thinking of, is that Ghost Rider? No,
you know a man.
Yeah, I know.
You know a man named Sheldon Turnipseed.
You're right. I do. I think that's the actor. That's the actor in Ghost Rider.
Oh, in Ghost Rider. Now that's a deep cut.
Holy shit. Wow.
His name is really Turnipseed?
Yeah, his name's Sheldon Turnipseed.
Wow, cool.
Real name.
No gimmicks.
Yeah. No. For tomorrow, man, Mr. Dress Up, we're getting into the tickle trunk.
All right. Oh, that's where it came from. Yeah.
Mr.
I've been
Dress
wondering
Up.
Why we call it that for a decade.
That is a weird thing. Yeah. I said that to our other American friends down here. Like, whatever type of trunk. Oh, what do you got in the tickle trunk?
Yeah.
Everyone, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. That's a Mr. Dress-Up reference.
Yeah. I don't think we should bring it up at the end of the show tomorrow, though. It deserves way more than 2 minutes.
Full show.
Mr. Dress-Up.
We should do a playback watching old Mr. Dress-Up.
Well, I think we just make it a rapid-fire question right now.
Okay.
Name your favorite random Canadian kids show.
I got one. God.
Okay, save it.
I got one.
Save it. All right, we're calling that today's show here. What an ending. Join us tonight, though. We're back on playback. 7 o'clock start, okay? Because we are going to react to the NBA All-Star Reserves that'll be announced on TNT starting around 7 p.m. Eastern. So we'll jump on playback. We'll just react immediately to the 14 names chosen. And it should be fun. We'll hang out for 45 minutes or an hour. So that link is in the show notes. Join our playback room. We just hit over 5,000 people in our playback room, which is cool to see. So, okay, Clipper Bros. If you want to go to
you heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. Hi. What happened?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Same source. I have forgotten. Anyway, go
ahead. That's all right. I was really busy looking up that the show that was on at like 6 o'clock. What was the
oh boy.
It's difficult. It's difficult to come up. As soon as you find the name.
Okay, hold on. No. What do you mean?
No. No, we know the name. We know. Everybody knows it.
It was on at 6 o'clock. What else you got, man? No.
Fucking news? I don't know.
No. The design was that she was designing this room that started at 6 o'clock. She named the time at 6 o'clock. Anyways, it was just a bunch of kids in a room. What the hell is it?
Oh, where, did she have a mirror?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, what the hell is that called?
6 o'clock mirror room.
No.
C. It starts with a C. I forget what it's called. Christie's Clubhouse, not Christie's Clubhouse.
No, Jesus.
Christie's Chamber. It wasn't bad.
I know what you're talking about.
I went to a filming of that once when I was a kid. What the hell is it called, though?
Yeah,
because she'd hold up the mirror and she'd be like, I see Philip, and I see Jason, and I see Trey.
Romper room? Big
romper
room.
Romper room, that's it, romper
room.
Sorry.
Oh, Jesus. Man, that was my favorite.
Just distorted the audio.
Shout out to Hannah J.
Hannah J. Romper room.
Romper room.
Good one, Hannah.
But hold on. Romper room was American.
Oh, so?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So was Shark Tank. You know where Shark Tank came from. The dragons did!
Embrace the day, people. Go to black.